Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seminary Congregation, Mount Zion, spelled out, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 21, 2016. Our edit is CBeth 23, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, How He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Yah's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes for Eden's flowers bloom, thy water still for troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Yah, I would cast my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content wherever Lord I see, since 'tis my Yah that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. This faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, and by the grace of victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since Yah through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. Faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Tommy Green's Volume 1, Number 25, by V.T. Hardiff. Which nations will disarm and why? Okay, that's the name of our subject for today. That's the name of the subject that he preached back in January 25th, 1947. And we're going to preach it again today because this is present truth, what's going on in the world. And it says a worldwide stir and its results, and we definitely have a worldwide stir going on. And the prayer thought, though, the opening prayer thought, our prayer thought will be taken from Isaiah chapter 2. Start with verse 1. It says, for the word that the Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now keep in mind that Judah is your lawgiver, your two tribes. This is where the royal house of David belongs. Jerusalem is the capital of Judea and all of Israel. Okay. And it's verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days And it's going to come to pass that in the last days that the mountain of the Yahweh's house. Now, Yahweh's house is the house of David. Alright? Now, the house of David is a branch of the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh has its origin in heaven. That's where the temple is at, in heaven. The visible temple is in heaven. All right? But the branch of the house of in heaven of Yahweh is the house of David here on earth. So in other words, the kingdom of heaven is extended unto this earth, unto the house of David. Okay? So it says this extended house of heaven, of Yahweh, is established at the top of the mountains. It's brought down to earth, established at the top of all, and put over all the denominations of the world. When I say that, I'm talking about the denominations of Israel. I'm not talking about those Protestant Sunday-keeping world that have already faded into the background, that are given to the marshes, to the salt pits. I'm not talking about those. Those that don't have anything to do with the fulfilling of prophecy other than to be judged as goats that are cut off from in the final harvest. Okay? And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of Yahweh, unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hoofs. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers, like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of the silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. The land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. Okay. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Yahweh, and for the glory of his majesty. For the lofty looks of man shall be humble, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Okay, the proud and lofty will be brought low. That's in verse 12. For the day of the Yahweh of the host shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, means all of the ministers and the officers and presidents of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is represented by this here mountain Bashan, that's called Bashan. Psalm 68 calls it a high hill, Bashan. Seventh-day Adventist Church is a high hill. But Yahweh's mountain in the house of David, it says it's a high hill, it's called Zion, and it's a high hill. It's high like the hill of Bashan, it says. And upon all the high mountains and upon all the hills that are lifted up. So, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the hardiness of men shall be made low, and the Yahshua, the Son, alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, unto the moles and unto the bats, to go into the cliffs of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Yahshua, for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Okay. Chapter 3 of Isaiah talks about the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem. But let's go to Micah now, Micah 4, and let's read an identical account. Micah and Isaiah collaborated on this information. They both had the same information about the latter days and about the mountain, the house of Yahweh being established in the top of the mountain. They just kind of had a little different arrangement of words, but they said the same thing. It says in Micah 4, verse 1, "And in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree." Okay. So now it says, "And none shall make them afraid for the mouth of Yahshua of the host." This is the Son hath spoken it. "For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Yahshua our Savior forever and ever. In that day, saith the Yahshua, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Yahweh shall reign over them," the Yahshua, the Son, as king. He's going to reign over them in Mount Zion, that's in Mount Zion, in the 12th, at the 12th hour, in the house of David, upon the throne of David, from henceforth even forever. Now, if anybody has any problem with that concept, let's just go to Luke chapter 1 right quick, and let's see if we can't find verse 31 and 32. It says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yahshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So, when Yahshua is here on earth, his father here on earth is David. Now, do you get this? His father is David. Now, there's a lot to be elaborated on about that. We're going to we'll talk about that later. And it says, when Yahshua comes and takes his place upon the throne of this earthly father David, said in verse 33 of Luke chapter 1, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob now is your 12 tribes, the 144,000. So the 144,000 is Yahshua's personal blood-bought servants, that he has redeemed them, he has exonerated them and crowned them as prophet, priest, and kings to sit upon thrones also with him, to sit upon thrones. And he says so over there in, I believe, John, sit upon 12 thrones. Let's go read it. It says in Luke 22:30, that ye may eat and drink. Let's look at verse 29. Okay, now it says in Luke 22, start with verse 27, it says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I'm among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Now he's talking to the disciples here, 11 of them. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. So now he said he appointed unto them a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, it didn't say sit upon 12 thrones. It says sit upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew 19:28, and Yahshua said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now Luke says just sit upon thrones. But Matthew is more specific. He says, sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what does this mean? He has 12 apostles. He has 12 apostles, and he's telling them that you're going to sit upon 12 thrones, 12 disciples. He's going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But they didn't sit upon 12 thrones back then. When they established the kingdom of grace that Yahshua set them up with, which was the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David was set up with the disciples as the kingdom of grace. In other words, they represented that one first brass mountain there in Zechariah 6, where it talks about two brass mountains. Okay? You have the first brass mountain represents the kingdom of grace, a purified section of the house of Israel, with the disciples coronated and in charge of it. So, in this everlasting kingdom of David that we are sitting up here in Liberty Hill, Texas, it is in its infancy. It's like the mustard seed, the grain of mustard seed. But when it finally emerges, you're going to have the 144,000. You're going to have the 12 disciples. Apostles. Paul made it the 12th one now. You're going to have those 12 with the other 11. Matthias was the 12th one for 3.5 years. He took the place of Judas after Jesus was purged out, but Matthias only lasted 3.5 years as one of the 12 disciples. When Yeshua called Paul at the end of the 3.5 year period, 34 A.D., he called him to take the place of Matthias. Okay, now keep in mind that the disciples chose Matthias. Yeshua accepted him. The disciples chose Judas Iscariot, and Yeshua accepted him. Yeshua chose the 12, Paul being the 12th, and so it ended up that Yeshua chose all 12 of them himself. But he had to discard 2 disciples that the 11 disciples chose themselves. The 11 disciples chose Judas first, and then they chose Matthias to take Judas' place after Judas was purged out. And then Yahshua rejected Matthias and chose Paul to take Matthias' place. So you see, man's choice doesn't mean that it's Yahweh's choice. All right. Now, that's demonstrated with Samuel. Samuel was sent to anoint a king of Israel from the family of Jesse. When Samuel went to, and asked Jesse to bring his sons all out and line them up, he wanted to see which one that Yahweh wanted him to anoint. And Yahweh, Jesse lined up 7 sons, and Samuel, he looked at the first one. Boy, he was tall and handsome, and he was a strong-built person. He said, surely Yahweh has chosen this one right here, the firstborn. Surely he has chosen him to be the next king. And Yahweh said, no. He said, I have not chosen him. Samuel went down the line of the 7 brothers, and Yahweh said, I haven't chosen any of these. So Samuel, he doesn't know what to do. He was sent to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king of Israel, and lo and behold, Yahweh passed by all of the 7 there present. And Samuel says, turned to Jesse, said, is there any more sons? He said, yeah, there is one out in the field. He's herding sheep. Said, bring him in. Said, we will not sit down until you have brought him in. Whenever David showed up, Yahweh said to Samuel, said, this is him. Said, anoint him to be the next king of Israel, to take Saul's place. And so, Yahweh looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. Samuel looked on the outward appearance. Man has nothing to do with choosing Yahweh's prophets or choosing a king of Israel. It's always Yahweh that has the final say as to any of that. Okay. It says here in Timely Greeting, Volume 1, Number 25, B.T. Howard, he says, he's asking the question, which nations will disarm and why? And he says, further continuing with the theme of our previous studies, the kingdom of Judah, we shall turn into the book of Micah. Okay, it consists, as you know, of 7 chapters, and they carry a continuous story of Judah in both her early and her latter days. The first 3 chapters are concerning Judah in her early days, and the last 4 contain the promises unto the antitypical Judah, the Judah of the latter days, of whom our main interest now is. In order to connect the first 3 chapters of Micah with the last 4, we shall begin with the last verse of chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. The Judah of today emerged in 1930 with V.T. Holliff at the helm as the leader of the Shepherd's Lodge. That's what the Adventists labeled them. V.T. Holliff was given the name Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. It was the Seventh-day Adventist that pinned the name Shepherd's Rod on the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Okay, now, so Davidians emerged as the Judah of today. And the Davidians had 73 and a half years on the scene as Judaites from 1930 to 2003. So how many years did I say? Yeah, 73. 73 years they were on the scene identified as Judaites. Officially, though, their time was 80 years up to 2010. But the leader of Judah, the last leader of Judah, was Willis W. Johnson, and he was cut off after Judah had been on the scene for 73 years. Willis Johnson was cut off as the last leader of Judah, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, in 2003. Elijah David, that had served 33 and a half years with the leader of Judah, Willis Johnson, from 1970 to 2003, took the reins, was given to him, to me, and continued on and finished out the last 40-year period of the Judah. I'm talking about fleshly carnal Judah from 1970 to 2010. Okay? Now, let us continue with our study. Because there was nothing more that could have been done to convince Judah that she was in the wrong and that she was in need to return to the Yeshua, the Yeshua finally forewarned that her place, located, returning to the Yahweh, the Father. For the Yahweh finally, the Father, will forewarn that her palace ground was to be plowed as a field. Okay, that's what happened to Kermit, Gilead Center, the last palace ground for Judah today. It was called the Sinful Kingdom. Amos chapter 9 has a prophecy on that, called it the Sinful Kingdom. And that her palace and city were to become heaps. For the fulfillment of this part of the Micah's prophecy is a faithful witness before all nations, and the punishment of that people is a fair example for all people to know that Elohim means just what he says. Yahweh did not, however, cast aside his faithful few and their descendants forever. Unto them he left his comforting promise. He left this comforting promise. Micah 4:1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Although Micah forespoke sad news for the ancient Judah, he forespoke this joyful news for Judah of the latter days. Okay, so now this belonged to V.T. Holliff. This is when Yahweh first spoke through the prophecy unto his servant that was put in charge of announcing Judah's arrival. And that was V.T. Holliff, 1930. Trying indeed must it have been for Judah to look forward unto her own destruction. Conversely, though, it must have encouraged her to know that the time would come for her to return and to build the old waste places, to raise up the foundations of many generations. Isaiah 58:12. And still more joyful should she now be to learn that the time for her returning unto the Yahweh and unto the homeland has actually come. In order to obviate any doubt in this connection, the Yahweh reaffirms his word by saying, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed unto the sower, no bread, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth, forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereto I send it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. For the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, and the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be unto the Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off." Isaiah 55:10-13. We too should clasp our hands even now for having this great opportunity to engage in this glorious work and for the great and grand privilege to proclaim these good tidings and to be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now Isaiah 58:12. Indeed, these are the good tidings of the peace that the prophet Nahum forespoke in Nahum 1:15. When the kingdom of the Judah is reestablished, then it is that the scripture is fulfilled in Micah 4:2. "And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up unto the mount of Yahweh and unto the house of Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yahweh. And many nations shall be joined unto Yahweh in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yahweh of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Yahweh shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land." Now this is Yahshua's portion, the Son, actually. "And the Yahshua shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again as the capital of Judah, and the capital of the headquarters for the kingdom of heaven, for the new Jerusalem to come down and take the place of the old Jerusalem." He's going to yet choose Jerusalem again to set up the new Jerusalem from heaven here on earth. That the Jerusalem here on earth is a type of the one in heaven that is to come down to take his place here in the end time. "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Yahweh, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation," Zechariah 2:10-13. "And the Gentiles shall come to the light and change the brightness of their rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all thy, they gather themselves together, they come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall be in fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, for the force of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, for the multitude of the camels shall cover thee. For the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of Yahweh, and all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, for the rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove unto their winter? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of Yahweh the Elohim, and unto the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be opened unto thee, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Let's read that again. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Isaiah 60, verse 3 to 12. Obviously, we are right at the dawn of a new day, the day in which the gospel work is to triumph in victory and to reap an abundant harvest of the converts. Virtually whole nations are to join the mountain of the Yahweh during the judgment day, starting the judgment of the living in the 12th hour. And that started in 2002, folks. We've been 15, we're right at 15 years since the judgment of the living began for the Adventist Church, Ezekiel 9. And they don't even know it. Yet we tried to tell them, but it doesn't do any good to try to tell them. They won't listen. They don't believe you. In which the law goes forth to Zion and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem, from the future headquarters of the gospel. So apparently this judgment of the living then is going to be recognized at the time that the 144,000 comes forth. Alright, it says, the time is therefore near at hand when in order truly to go unto the church, one must go unto Jerusalem and there be taught the way of Yahweh and to thus walk in his path. Micah 4:3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spear into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Many nations are gladly to accept his rebukes, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, rather than continue to run in the armament route. According to Matthew, the only nations that are disarmed are those that accept the Yahweh's truth for today and go to the promised land. Never again will they need either swords nor our spears. Micah 4:4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of the host has spoken it. For the nations and people are now having a difficult time to get unto their a fig tree, so to speak, much less to sit in peace under it. They are in constant fear that someone may dislodge them, even from their sitting under no tree. Consequently, they will try to protect their rights or unrights by beating their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. Joel 3:10. And so, judging their own strength by their war of preparations, even the weak will say, I am strong. But it shall not be thus with those nations which join the people of the kingdom of the Yahweh. They will not need to trust in their own strength, for they shall have the Yahweh's protection. Each shall comfortably and securely sit under his own fig tree, knowing that no one can possibly push him away from under it. This is to be so, for the mouth of Yahweh of the host has spoken it. Micah 4:5. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his Yahweh, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh our Elohim forever and ever. Those outside the kingdom that the Spirit of Yahweh cannot convince of their error will continue to walk in the name of their false gods. But the people in the kingdom will walk in the name of the Yahweh or Elohim forever and ever. Okay. Micah 4:6-7. In that day, saith Yahweh, will I assemble her that halted, and I will gather her that is driven out and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. For the day in which Elohim's people are gathered from all parts of the earth and brought to Zion is at hand, and the Yahweh will reign over them henceforth forever. Micah 4:8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. For the tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, is to be the main object of the attraction in Jerusalem. And what could it be? Well, in olden times, towers were built for the purpose of keeping a watch over the city, and so the tower of the flock must be the throne on Zion, a lofty hill, Zion's stronghold. This stronghold, you know, does not belong to the mother, not to ancient Zion, but to her daughter, to antitypical Zion, Matthew 4:9-10. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even unto Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Yahweh shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. For these two verses takes us back unto the time when the faithful of the ancient Judah cried out as they saw themselves about to be dispersed among the nation. Really, the encouraging counsel to labor and bring forth children while in the field, and the comforting promise of her deliverance from the antitypical Babylon left her by the prophets ever remained with her even unto this day. For the Zion church was destined to go into the Gentile nations there to multiply and at last to be delivered. These good tidings now, just before the gathering begins, the Yahweh wants us to proclaim far and wide, saying, hear the word of the Yahweh, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together unto the goodness of the Yahweh for wheat and for wine, and for all, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Jeremiah 31:10-12. Micah 4:11-12. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall give them as a sheaves unto the floor. Micah 4:13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto Yahweh, and their substance unto Yahweh of the whole earth. Not the daughter of Yahushua, but the daughter of Zion is to do the threshing, and she has the promise of an iron horn, divine power, the kind that does not break. Moreover, she is promised hooves of brass, a special and distinct message by which to beat in pieces many people. That is, she is with it the thresh and select the wheat from the chaff. I then saw the third angel, said my cunning angel, fearful in his work, awful in his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. These things should engross the whole mind, the whole attention. Early Writings, page 118. For behold, the hour will come with fire with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh shall be many. Isaiah 66:15-16. This is the first separation. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to his Tubal and Avan, unto the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain, Yahushua, saith the Yahweh. As the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel unto the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 6:19-20. Those that escape from the slain of Yahweh, you know, are sent unto the Gentile nations, there to proclaim unto them Yahweh's fame and his glory, and also to bring all their brethren, all that can be saved, to the house of Yahweh. From this you can plainly see that those who escape must be the first fruit. The 144,000 Jacobites, Revelation 14:4. Those who they bring from the Gentile nations to the house of Yahweh must, therefore, be the second fruits, Revelation 7, 9. Just where there is first, there is also second. Finally, you plan to see that from the purification of the church, 144,000 escape and become the servants of Yahweh, the remnant, those who finish the gospel work in all the world. Now to summarize, let us review the most outstanding points of the study. First, the kingdom of Judah was to be dissolved, Zion plowed as a field, and Jerusalem reduced to heaps. Then in the latter days, it is to be reestablished and exalted above the kingdoms of the Gentiles. Third, when it is thus established, many nations are to go into it, and even to invite one another to go there to be taught of the Yahweh's way and to walk in his path. This is to be so because the law is to go forth to Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Fourth, the Yahweh is to judge from nations, and from there he is to rebuke strong nations afar off. Those who accept his rebuke are to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. For the nations that join the kingdom of Yahweh are never again to lift up a sword against a nation, nor will they learn war anymore. No longer will they need armament, for they are to be protected by a wall of fire, Zechariah 2:5. Every man is to sit under his own fig tree, and none is to make him afraid, for the Yeshua the host has spoken it. Fifth, every one of those who do not go to Jerusalem and who do not disarm shall walk in the name of his own false Yahweh, his own false God, but all who join the kingdom of Judah shall walk in the name of Yahweh or Elohim forever and ever. Sixth, Yahweh will assemble and gather his people, that's the congregation of the purified Israel, 144,000, she that halted, and she that was driven out, and she that was afflicted. He will make her a strong nation, and Yahshua shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. 7. Unto this kingdom shall come even the first dominion. This afternoon's study shows how the gathering is to be accomplished, and the gospel work finished, and the wicked world brought to an end. True, such a plan for the finishing of the work has not been our plan, but it is about time we realize that our plans have never been and never will be the Yahweh's plan. We had better now accept his plans if we wish to go to Zion and there to stand with the Lamb. A new day is dawning on us, brother, sister. And now, rather than imagine that we are rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, we see ourselves in need of everything. Shall we not accept these riches, truth, that are tried in the fire, and these garments of righteousness by which to cover our nakedness? Shall we not anoint our eyes with this fresh golden oil of the truth, that we may see and know the way, that we may reach the door on time? There is no reason for staying wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The Yahweh is waiting at the door of our hearts. He is anxious to pour out a blessing to fill the cup unto overflowing. Let us not disappoint him by forcing him to pass us by. Let us now disarm and fearlessly prepare to sit in the peace under our Elohim given fig trees. Okay, so this brings us to the end of number 25. We're going to go right on into TG 126. It says a worldwide stir and its results. February the 1st, 1947. B.T. Hollow. We're going to continue now the study of the book of Micah, the fifth chapter, and begin with the first verse. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. You will notice that besides introducing a number of pronouns, he, us, they, this verse also introduces several different topics. First, a daughter of troops, then the judge of Israel, and a rod. Other subjects are introduced further along in the chapter. Now for the gaining of the vision and of the lesson that the inspiration is most anxious that we should get from the scripture, it is necessary that we study one subject at a time, and in order to do this, we must group the verses according unto the subject. Since the subject of verse 1 is the same as of the verses 10 to 15, we shall quote them connectively. Micah 5:1-10-15. Now gather thyself and troops, O daughter of troops, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off all witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. These verses present a group of people, good and bad commingled, whom Yahweh is to cleanse. Then the scripture closes with Yahweh's promise to execute vengeance upon the heathen. The mixed group of people, wheat and tares, very obviously constitute the church that is approaching the time of the harvest, Matthew 13:30. For the time in which all idolaters are to perish, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:49-43. We now come to the last part of Micah 5:1. The antecedent of the pronoun he is found in the preceding verse, chapter 4:13. Here quickly we see that it is the Yahshua himself, painted in by the pronoun us. Micah means himself and his people, Judah and Israel, the whole house of Israel. Clear it is that while the Yahshua with his message of warning and reproof makes a siege against his people, the adversaries gather together in groups for the opposing such as his been the case at the introduction of each newly revealed truth. For the congregation is logically called daughter of troops because her mother, the Jewish church, at the time of the introduction of the gospel of Yahshua, gathered together in troops to oppose Yahshua. Moreover, being smitten in the face rather than in the back, the judge of Israel, Yahshua, must have been squarely facing them, speaking unto them, for the reason for which the Jews crucified him. The verses that follow, verse 1, again confirm the fact that the judge is the Yahshua. They that smite him are his adversaries, his enemies. Concerning them, inspiration says, Micah 5:9, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. According to Yahshua's parables of time, his adversaries, his enemies, of the progressive truth are cut off is at the commencement of the purification of the church at the harvest time. Then according to Ezekiel's prophecy, the Yahshua commissions the men with the slaughtering weapons in their hands, saying, go ye after him to the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began to ancient men which were before the house, Ezekiel 9:5-6. For the spirit of the prophecy confirms this by saying, here we see that the church, the Yahweh's sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of Yahweh. For the ancient men, those unto whom Elohim had given great light, and who had stood as guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for miracles and the marked manifestation of Yahweh's power as in the former days. Times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say, the Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in judgment. Thus peace and safety is the cry from men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Yahweh's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. For these dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children, and all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. And through the Apostle Peter, inspiration declares, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin thus, where shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh? 1 Peter 4:17. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. There is no doubt that this verse predicts the birth of Yahshua, the judge of Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. Micah 5:3, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Crucifying Yahshua and their refusing to return unto the Yahshua, there was nothing that could have been done for the Jews at that time but to give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. The pronoun she points to the daughter of Zion. Okay, it says in Micah 4:10, she is to bring forth her children while in the field, while in the Gentile lands. Then the time of her sojourning is to end, she is to be delivered. And that day, saith Yahshua, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and Yahshua shall reign over them in Mount Zion, from henceforth even forever. Micah 4:6 and 7. It says, Micah 5, verse 4 and 5. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Yahshua, in the majesty of the name of the Yahshua, his Savior, or his King, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth, and this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. When the children of the daughter of Zion return unto Mount Zion, they are to abide forever. Never again are they to be cast out among the Gentiles nations. Never are they to be given up. For Yahshua is thus to make himself great unto the ends of the earth. When she that travaileth shall have brought forth, then the saints are to raise against the Assyrians 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, that is, all of Yahweh's shepherds, and all his principal men, including Yahshua the 8th. Micah 5:6, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod, and the entrances thereof, and this is the United States, starting right here, the United States. And thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth in our borders. For the kingdom of Israel that was destroyed by Assyria, and also the kingdom of Judah that was destroyed by Babylon, even all the 12 tribes of Israel, are to be delivered. And I will declare to Yahshua, make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more 2 nations, neither shall they be divided into 2 kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their king. And David, my servant, Elijah David, speaking to you right now, shall be king over them, and they all shall have 1 shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them. Ezekiel 37:22-24. And if anything changes of what I have just read to you about who this antithetical Elijah, this David is, well then Yahweh will show it to me, and I will publish it. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, that's number 11. Click on our audio archives, and we will close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. One of my sentimental favorites. Well, you would have not have known about a wonderful Yah if he had not created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So, near unto Yah is ever to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. then we'll have a heavenly home for you. There wouldn't have been a creation of earth if Yah had not come down. He spoke the word and creation heard, and the world started spinning around. There spoke the word and the light appeared, he guided it from the night. Saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. As the hour is blessing when it comes, again we'll have a heavenly home for you. Where you climb upon a mountain and you look around in the green valley below. There's a moon up above that's shining with love.